Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United, November, and in approximately 5 minutes at the top of the hour, we'll begin the TIN this evening. I hope that you'll stay connected. It sounds like it'll be a lot of fun. It's going to be about ham trivia tonight, and we have quite a few presenters, so hopefully all of you will get in there and participate. And if you participate, you'll generally be part of our recording. So with that, I'll be in the background until the top of the hour. Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have several net controls for this evening. I'm merely opening it up tonight. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen, and I am located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where we currently have a temperature of 75 degrees. It was a high of 81. And in my location today, I had some very severe storms. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. No emergency traffic, and I always say that's a great thing. How about anyone celebrating a birthday, an anniversary, anything special they want to share with us? If so, I ask you to come aboard. Okay, no birthdays, no anniversaries, nothing to celebrate. All right, this is the monthly Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of a guest speaker or speakers. But I do want to advise everyone that who are connected tonight that this is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast, and you'll definitely be part of that recording. So all stations participating, once again, will be part of that recording, and we hope that you'll participate. The program tonight is called Ham Trivia. So before I get the program started, I'm going to throw it over to you, KY6B, for any information you want to share. Thank you, everyone, for allowing me to open it this evening. KY6B from Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Are you ready?
Well, I think so, Kathy. Hey, thank you. And good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming by. Our staff felt that, you know, it was time for some fun and lightheartedness and hold back this month from any of our highly involved technical type programs. So that being the case, this is Trivia Night 2022. And our staff in the background will be keeping track of which people, person or persons, that answer the most questions correctly. And do fanfare. I'm going to underline that. Do fanfare will come in the days ahead in celebration of that event. So let's get it started. David over in Wales, good evening, sir. Are you ready? David, GW8SZL from KY6V.
Yep, KY6V, GWNSNL, Dave over here in Newport, South Wales, where it's currently raining and we're preparing ourselves for tomorrow's 100 mile an hour predicted winds. Okay, and for the first question, the approximate height of the E layer is, I say again, the approximate height of the E layer is A, 0 to 10 kilometers, B, 50 to 80 kilometers, C, 90 to 150 kilometers, or D, 25 to 55 miles. And if you'd like a repeat of that question, I can do that no problems whatsoever. So if anybody would like to have a shot at that question, call signs slowly, phonetically, and twice, please. Okay, I'm going to repeat the question. I'm guessing that nobody actually got it. The approximate height of the E layer is A, 0 to 10 kilometers, B, 50 to 80 kilometers, C, 90 to 150 kilometers, D, 25 to 55 miles. So how high is the E layer? From Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
ZL, Kilo Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray.
Okay, I've got Bernie, Kilo Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray. Is there anybody else who'd like to have a shot at that question? Okay, no additional takers. Bernie, KA9WDX. Do you think it's A, B, C, or D?
Dave, GW8SZL, K9WDX, and I had to retrain my thinking there because I was thinking miles. I was, okay, got to think now on kilometers, not miles. I'm going to say 90 to 150 kilometers, and what was that? I think that was the letter C as in Charlie. Back to you, GW8SZL, K9WDX.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Yep, answer C is 90 to 150 kilometers, and that equates to approximately 55 to 93 miles up. So, is that your final answer there, Bernie? Go ahead.
Okay, Dave. Yep, that's correct. That's my final answer. C is in Charlie, GW8SZL, K9WDX.
Okay there, Bernie, so your answer is C for Charlie, 90 to 150 kilometers, and that's 55 to 93 miles up in the sky. And congratulations, you are a winner on question one of the February trivia TIN. C Charlie is correct. Okay, I'll move on to the second question of the evening. Now, this is a good one. Where did the term 73 originate from? Where did the term 73 originate from? Now, was it A, air traffic controllers, B for Bravo, the railroad, C for Charlie, it's an old AM radio sign-offs, or D for Delta, Western Union? So that's A, air traffic controllers, B, the railroad, C, old AM radio sign-offs, or D, Western Union. Okay, looking for stations to have a go at that question. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu, Lima.
Net control, Victor Alpha 3, Julia India, Charlie, James here in Canada.
NO70, I'll also take a try at the answer.
Okay, I've got two stations there. I got Victor Alpha 3, Juliet India Charlie, James, and NO70 George. Do I have anybody else for that question?
Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee.
Okay, I've also got Robert, VK2DY. Anybody else?
Kilo Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray. Kilo Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray.
Okay, and I got KA9WDX, Bernie, back for question number two. Is there anybody else? Okay, so I've got four stations. I've got Victor Alpha 3, Juliet India Charlie, James, NO70 George, our good friend Robert down there in Sydney, VK2DY, and Bernie back again for a second attempt at question number two after getting the correct answer of question number one. Okay, I'm going to repeat the question. Where did the term 7-3 originate from? A, air traffic controllers, B, the railroad, C, old AM radio sign-offs, or D, Western Union? So first up for this one is James, Victor Alpha 3, Juliet India Charlie. Over to you.
Net control, I think my answer is going to be Bravo.
Okay, thank you, James. Your answer is Bravo, the railroad. Okay, let's see if you're right when we go and see what the other three stations come up with. NO70, A, B, C, or D, George, go ahead.
Well, thank you, Dave, and good evening, and welcome to everyone on the South Cars TIN this month. Glad that you're here. I will have to agree with James, VA3JIC. It is a term from the railroad. It's one of actually many terms from the railroad. Since we're dealing with trivia, maybe I can get away with this comment. Another one that is from the railroad is 88, which is translated to love and kisses, or hugs and kisses. Now, be careful with that nowadays, but back in the day, especially when YLs and XYLs were very, very short in supply, then you would find 88 used quite a bit upon a contact with a licensed YL or XYL. And of course, there are some others, maybe, but I will leave that for the others, for others who are in queue here. GW8SZL, NO70, over.
Yeah, NO70, GW8SZL, I put you down for B Bravo as well, the railroad. And thank you very much for the additional information as well there, George, much appreciated. Okay. And we'll go round to Robert down there in Sydney, Australia. Hope it's nice and warm down there, Robert. We're going to have some bad weather tomorrow, that's for sure here. VK2DY, and what would your answer be, Robert? Go ahead, sir.
GW8SZL, VK2DY, Robert in Russell, New South Wales. Just going to do some shopping at Woolworths here. It is 27 degrees Celsius, which is like, 80 Fahrenheit, something like that. Sunny, shining skies, blue, beautiful summer's day. Well, I have to go with the rest of the crowd and stick with B Bravo. Thank you again, VKTDY, back to that.
Okay there, Robert, thank you for your B Bravo there, the railroad. So we got three for the railroad so far. And now it's Bernie's turn. KA9WDX, your turn, sir.
Okay, Dave, GW8SZL, K9WDX. I had to think about that for a minute or two. I had two of them in my mind, and I was thinking, okay, is it this one or that one? And I was thinking, okay, you know, when I whittle down to two answers, three-fourths of the time, I'll guess the wrong answer. And I was going to take a different letter, and I thought, maybe I'll take the other letter instead. So I'm going to also say B as in Bravo, and so I think they were used by telegraph operators, but I had a second answer in my mind, but then I thought, nah, that can't be, although I almost took the other answer. But like I said, I was thinking, okay, when I got only two answers left to choose from, I know it's one or the other, three-fourths of the time I get the wrong answer. So instead of going with my gut instinct, I'll go with my other answer. So I'm going to go with B as in Bravo as my final answer, like the other one said there. So hopefully I'll get it right this time. GW8SZL, K9WDX.
Yeah, KA9WDX, GW8SZL, I've got your answer as B for Bravo. But before I announce the correct answer, I've got to ask, what was your second one you were thinking of there, Bernie? Go ahead.
Dave, okay, dear Dave, I had to wait for my note to finish IDing before I could answer. So I was going to go with D as in Delta, but I thought, nah, I'll go with B as in Bravo, so I won't. Hopefully wouldn't get it wrong. Like I say, three out of four times I'll get it wrong, or at least half the time I'll get it wrong when I got two answers. But so I decided to, instead of going with my gut instinct, go the other way, because it kind of made sense to me, because I remember seeing, like say, old episodes of, what do you call it, I can't even think of the name of the show where they had a telegraph on a train there. Wild Wild West is what I was thinking of. So that's why I changed my mind and went with Bees and Bravo. Made more sense to me. GW8SLL K9WDX.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Well, I gotta say, B for Bravo is correct, and it was the railroad. So, well done to everybody. So far, you've all guessed the right answer, 100%. Okay, on to the next question. Now, according to the Solar Observatory in Zurich, in Switzerland, the solar cycle that began in what year is now called the first cycle? So I'll just repeat the question. According to the Solar Observatory in Zurich in Switzerland, the solar cycle that began in what year is now called the first cycle? First answer A for Alpha is 1492. That's 1492. B for Bravo is 1755. C for Charlie, 1834. And D for Delta, 1904. So that's A, 1492, B, 1755, C is 1834, or D is 1904. Okay, looking for call signs to have a go at that question. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
7-0, request to be moved to the end of the list for a final comment on the answer to this one. In a 7-0.
Okay, no problems at all there, George. Any takers for the first cycle, first solar cycle, that was according to the Solar Observatory in Zurich in Switzerland? Any takers? I got George on the bottom of the list for a comment. Please call now.
6, Victor.
Okay, I've got Court Gordon, KY6V. Anybody else? Okay. So we got Gordon and we got George for a comment. So Gordon, KY6V, do you think it's A, B, C, or D? A, 1492, B, 1755, C, 1834, or D, 1904? KY6V, GW at SLL. Go ahead, Gordon.
Well, thank you, David. Good evening again to everybody. All those dates before my time, so I really don't know. But I'm going to make a pun comment here, and then I'll take a guess to this question. Your last question on the 73s reminded me of Johnny Cash. When he was locked up in the Hoosgow and he was singing that song, "I Hear the Train Coming Round the Bend." Just remember that, and you'll never forget that 73s was on the train. Okay, your current question. I don't think Columbus knew anything about it, nor the people around there at Columbus's time. So 1755 looks pretty good to me, and I think by 1834 and 1904, we were getting too blooming sophisticated. Go ahead, Dave. Over.
You're from GW8SZL. Okay, I've got you down for B Bravo, 1755. And yes, I do remember that song as well. But, yeah, I didn't relate the 73 bit to it at the time, but only later. Okay, now we've got a comment from George, NO70, and you're going to take a shot at the answer. NO70, GW8SZL. Go ahead, George.
Well, this is NO70. I think I'm going to go with B, 1755. And the reason why is the comment that I wanted to make. It must be something to do with that weather where Chief W4RFJ is now that he's in Florida, because I want to congratulate Chief W4RFJ on having been there to witness the event in 1755. GW8SZL, NO70, over.
Yeah, from GW8SZL. Okay there, George. No doubt Chief will have a comment when he pops up shortly for you. Okay, I'm glad to say the correct answer is B, 1755. That was the first solar cycle that was recorded and is now known as the first cycle. Okay, with that, I'm going to move on to the next question. And that is, what does VOX stand for? That is Victor Oscar X-ray. What does VOX stand for? A is the Voice of America, extended. B, Variable Operator Exchange. C, Voltage Operated Transmitter. And D, Voice Operated Transmit. So what does VOX stand for? A, Voice of America Extended. B, Variable Operator Exchange. C, Voltage Operated Transmitter. Or D, VOX, Voice Operated Transmit. Okay, looking for call signs once again. Who would like to take a shot at that one? This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Please call now.
Kilo Alpha 9 Whiskey Delta X-ray.
Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo.
Victor Alpha 3, Julie India Charlie.
Okay, so far for this question I got Bernie back again, K9WDX, Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo, Ken, and James, Victor Alpha 3, Juliet India Charlie. Is there anybody else who would like to take a shot at that particular question? Please call now. Oh, not hearing any more takers. So we're going to go right to Bernie, K9WDX. Go ahead, Bernie.
Okay, Dave, like they used to hear on a game show, D is my final answer. D will be my final answer, they used to say in one game show. D is in Delta. I believe that you said that was voice operator relay. That's what I'm going to go with. Back to you, GW8SLL, K9WDX.
Yeah, D for Delta, voice-operated transmit. That was that particular one. You can always phone a friend or have a 50-50 there, Bernie. Go ahead.
Yeah, my Node ID'd again, so I had to wait for that. But yeah, I remember that too. K9WDX.
Oh, I just love it when Node's ID. okay, we go down to Ken, Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo. Welcome, Ken, to the February TIN trivia quiz. What do you think, Ken? Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'm not sure. I didn't hear what the fourth choices were, but I know what VOX stands for, VOX Operated Exchange. And when you're on HF, it's a pain in the butt sometimes, hi-hi.
Okay, I'll just go through the options again, the four options for you, Ken. A, Voice of America Extended. B, Variable Operator Exchange. C, Voltage Operated Transmitter. And D for Delta, Voice Operated Transmit. So are you still going for B for Bravo? Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll still go for B for Bravo.
Okay, I've got you down, Ken, for B for Bravo, Variable Operator Exchange. Okay, Rev. James, Victor Alpha 3, Juliet India Charlie. What do you think the answer is there, James? Go ahead.
Well, I think, Dave, my final answer will be D for Delta.
Okay, thank you, James. So I got Bernie down as D for Delta, Ken for B for Bravo, and James for D for Delta. Well, actually, the actual what VOX actually does stand for is Voice Operated Transmit. So we have two winners on that question, Bernie and James. Sorry, Ken, you come in second there, my friend. Okay, with that, I come down to, I've got to pass it over to Chief now, W4RFJ. Are you out there, Chief? From Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra, Zulu, Lima.
The shadow knows. Good evening, everybody. This is W4RFJ, and thank you, Dave. Let's see. My next question is as follows. If you qualify for DXCC, that's DX Century Club, you would automatically also qualify for WAZ, Worked All Zones. Now, this is a true or false question. If you qualify for DXCC, you would automatically also qualify for WAZ. True or false? Time for more check-ins. Who wants to take a stab at this question? This is W4RFJ, suffix only, please.
Victor Alpha 3, Julie India Charlie.
I don't know.
Okay, the net recognizes Victor Alpha 3, Juliet India Charlie, James. Anybody else like to take a stab? This is W4RFJ. The question is, if you qualify for DXCC, DX Century Club, you would automatically also qualify for WAZ, or Worked All Zones. True or false? More check-ins?
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Okay, net recognizes Echo Whiskey Golf. Thanks, Dave. Okay. Let's go back up to the top of the list, Victor Alpha 3, Juliet India Charlie. What is your answer, true or false, W4RFJ?
Chief, I think my final answer will be true. I hope so.
Okay, we got an answer from James is true. Echo Whiskey Golf, what's your answer?
Well, good evening, Chief. Anybody else on next here? My final answer would be bravo, false. I hold multiple DXCCs, and no, I did not qualify automatically for WAZ. I had to earn that as well. KP9EWG.
Well, there's a man speaking from experience. Yeah, I think the WAZ was an award issued by CQ Magazine. And DXCC is, I think, an ARRL award. The answer to this question is B. So James, I'm sorry, but you come in second. How's that? This is W4RFJ. Let's, I guess, go on to the next question. Who first wrote the four equations that describe electromagnetic phenomena and are popularly called Maxwell's equations? I've got the answer here, Michael Faraday, which is A, B, James Clerk Maxwell, C, Oliver Heaviside, or D, Albert Einstein. Let's take some more check-ins for this one, and I'll repeat the question after we get a list. This is W4RFJ with the Thursday Information Net. Anybody want to take a stab at this Maxwell's equations question? Please call W4RFJ.
Victor Alpha 3, Julie India Charlie.
Okay, James, I got you at the top of the list. Anybody else care to take a stab? Who first wrote the four equations that describe electromagnetic phenomena and are popularly called Maxwell's equations? A, Michael Faraday. B, James Clerk Maxwell. C, Oliver Heaviside, or D, Albert Einstein. Please call W4RFJ.
Whiskey Delta X-ray.
Okay, I've got you, Bernie, WDX. All right, any more? Okay, hearing none, Victor Alpha, I can't even read my own writing. Victor Alpha 3, Juliet India Charlie from W4RFJ. What's your answer, James?
My final answer will be James Maxwell. I would have to go with James because my name is James.
Okay. We got an answer for B. How about you, Bernie? WDX, go ahead and fill your call and give us your answer. This is W4RFJ with the Thursday Information Net.
Okay, Chief, well, I had no idea, but something in my head said, say B as in Bravo, so that's why I said I'm going to take a guess, and I'm going to say B as in Bravo. Just kind of makes sense to me, but that doesn't always work. Sometimes I'm wrong, but I'm going to say B as in Bravo also. W4RFJ, KA9WDX.
K9WDX with the South Cars Thursday Information Net. Sorry, guys. The answer is C, Oliver Heaviside. Now, I got to look that up because I'm reading off a script here, but I think that was a trick question. But good try, guys. Oliver Heaviside wrote the four equations that describe electromagnetic phenomena and are popularly called Maxwell's equations. Okay, let's see. I got another question here. I got two more. This is W4RFJ. What famous rock star is an amateur radio operator? I have A, Bill Haley, B, Jimi Hendrix, C, Elvis Presley, and D, Joe Walsh. How about some takers for this one? Please call W4RFJ, suffix only, please.
Whiskey Delta X-ray.
Julie India Charlie, Victor Alpha 3, Julie India Charlie.
7-0.
Okay, net recognizes K9WDX and VA3JIC. I can't even read my own writing. Victor Alpha 3, Julian India Charlie, and November Oscar 7 Oscar. Are there any others that would like to take a stab? Okay, hearing none. K9WDX, it's over to you there, Bernie. What's your answer?
Okay, Chief, I'm going to say D is in Delta, Joe Walsh, which also reminded me of some other interesting people that had amateur radio call signs, like the very first newscaster I remember when I was watching as a kid on CBS, which was Walter Cronkite. Back to you, W4RFJ, K9WDX.
Okay, got your answer for Delta, Joe Walsh. Let's see, VA3JIC, what you got for us, James? Is it Bill Haley, A, Jimi Hendrix, B, Elvis Presley, C, or Joe Walsh, D?
A Delta.
Okay, we've got two votes for D as in Delta. N070, your turn, sir. What you got for us?
Well, thank you, Chief. Hey, Bernie, can I borrow your approach to isolating the answer, please? And let's see if I can get it right here. So Bill Haley has his own comet. So I don't think that's the answer because he was dealing with the comet. Okay. Jimi Hendrix's legendary playing is in a universe by itself. Elvis Presley has left the building. So I'm going to have to say D, Joe Walsh. W4FJ, N070, over.
Ding, 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 ding. You're a winner. Actually, guys, the answer is D, Joe Walsh. Very good. We got 3-for-3 on that one. All right. So that was WDX and JIC and Seven Ocean. All three said D, Joe Walsh. Very good. All right. Next question. Which of the following is most closely related to the planetary A index? Is it A, MUF, B, solar flux, C, tropospheric ducting, or D, K index? Please come now with your suffix only. This is W4RFJ with the South Cars Thursday Information Net. Now, I know everybody's just chomping at the bit to check in here, so please spread it out. Give each other a chance. Okay. Well, I guess nobody's really interested in answering that one. But let's see, which of the following is most closely related to the planetary A index? A, MUF, B, solar flux, C, tropospheric ducting, or D, K index. Let's try one more time.
Whiskey Delta X-ray.
Go ahead, Bernie. Give her a shot. W4RFJ.
Okay there, Chief. I felt I didn't have enough time to think it through, so I'm just going to take a stab in the dark and a quick response, even though I might be wrong because I didn't have a lot of time to think about it. I'll say Bees and Bravo. I don't know, but there's one other one that makes sense to me too, A, but or whatever, but I don't want to say B is a Bravo. Probably wrong, but one chance out of four to get it right. W4RFJ, K9WDX.
K9WDX, this is W4RFJ. Well, I'm sorry to say, Bernie, A and B are wrong. Actually, it is D, the K index. The K index quantifies disturbances in the horizontal component of the Earth's magnetic field with an integer in the range of 0 to 9 and 1 being calm and 5 or more indicating a geometric storm. It is derived from the maximum fluctuations of horizontal components observed in the magnetometer during a 3-hour interval, and that I guess the A index is all part of that part of it. It does get confusing because it is dealing with the magnetic field around the Earth. MUF A is one of the answers you gave. That is maximum usable frequency, which is a calculation that's derived from a lot of different pieces, and I don't think the A index is part of that. And you also selected solar flux, and solar flux is that stuff that the sun throws at the Earth constantly, I think. Well, anyway, that's it for my questions. Do you have any questions there, Bernie, about that last one? Over.
W4RFJ, no, I don't. And now that I had more time to think about it, I thought, yeah, that makes sense, because when you hear the WWV mention the A index, they also mention the K index, so I should have thought of having them together. W4RFJ, K9WDX.
Okay, well, guys and gals, that's it for my section here. And you're right, I didn't even think about that, Bernie. Yeah, WWV is very handy with getting some of that space weather information, and the A index and K index is usually part of that. All right, well, let's see. It's off to Mr. Sheriff up in Nottingham, N070. This is W4RFJ. Are you available for your round? Over.
W4RFJ, N070, I sure am. And I see some good comments about the WWV and solar weather recording. It's also available by telephone. If you go to I think it's available on the WWV website. They might give the phone number. But you can also call in by telephone to get that recording. So thank you, Chief. Yes. Good evening, and thanks, everyone, for being here for the TIN for February on South Cars. This is George, N070, in Nottingham, Maryland. Honorary sheriff of all the animals, not real sheriff. So, by the way, the animals of the forest are going to get drenched tonight. We're going to have a lot of rain coming up. Let me reset. So let's go on for a couple more questions here. First of several questions. Of the following four answers, what is the best SWR match for an antenna? Now, I'll go ahead and say that SWR stands for standing wave ratio, so that's not the question. Of the following four answers, what's the best SWR match for an antenna? First answer, A, would be 2 to 4. B would be a 1 to 1 match. C would be a 1.2 to 1 match. And D would be a 3-to-3 match. So the best SWR match for an antenna, question mark, A, 2-to-4, B, 1-to-1, C, 1.2-to-1, or D, 3-to-3. looking for your feedback and answers. Please call now. This is NO70, over.
Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo.
And Whiskey Delta X-ray.
VA3, JIC, Victor Alpha 3, Julian Neo Charlie.
W4RFJ with a request to secure from net.
That's granted, Chief. Thank you very much, sir. KY6V.
Thanks, guys. Have fun. W4RFJ out.
Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Chief, for being here. So I recognize for this part of the program, for the question on SWR match, VE7 Papa Golf Kilo, KA9WDX, VA3JIC, and are there any others? Please call now, NO70, over. All right, Dr. Hirsch, so let's go with this list, VE7TGK, NO70, your guest, please, sir, over.
I do believe it was B, 1-to-1. I think that was B.
Thank you, sir. K9WDX, what do you believe is the correct answer, over?
NO70, K9WDX. Okay, George, B's and Bravo, 1-to-1. I believe that was the answer for B, so that's what I'll take. B's and Bravo. NO70, K9WDX.
All right, thank you, Bernie. Got you down for B also. VA3JIC, give us your best answer, please. Over.
Victor Alpha 3, Julie India Charlie. My answer will be B, 1-to-1.
Well, we have some good operators out here tonight on the TIN. All three of you are absolutely correct. The best SWR match for an antenna is a 1-to-1 match. That means that all the power being sent out is going out and without some part of it being reflected back. Of course, we want to make sure as much RF as possible gets out into the atmosphere, so 1-to-1 match, yes indeed. So congratulations, gentlemen, that all three of you have the correct answer of B for 1-to-1 match. All right, let's move on to the next question. Where is the newest Nikola Tesla Museum located? So that is, where is the newest Nikola Tesla Museum located? Answer A, in Budapest. B, in Belgrade. C, in New York. Or D, in Colorado Springs. So one more time, the newest Nikola Tesla Museum is located in A, Budapest, B, Belgrade, C, New York, D, Colorado Springs. Please come now with your answers. This is NO70, over.
Victor Alpha 3, Julie India Charlie.
Kilo Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray.
All right, I have VA3GIC and KA9WDX. Any others? Over. All right, well, we have these two stations that are really doing a good job tonight with this on the TIN with their answers. VA3GIC, where is the U.S. Nikola Tesla Museum located, please? Over.
Victor Alpha 3, Julie India Charlie, and I believe it is Belgrade.
Okay, in the spirit of, wait, don't give me the answer of the news, would you, James, would you happen to want to come back a little closer to home, over?
Could you read the question, the answers off again for me, please? Victor Alpha 3, Julie India Charlie.
Of course, absolutely. A is Budapest, B, Belgrade, C, New York, D, Colorado Springs. Over.
My final answer is B, Bravo.
Okay, very good, James. Got you down for B. Thank you, sir. Bernie, K9WDX, where is the U.S. Nikola Tesla Museum located, please? Over.
I thought I had the answer, then I thought, no, wait a minute, maybe it's the other place. And I'm going back and forth like a tennis match. I'm trying to decide which one to choose from. I was talking to my best friend on 10 meters too, and he says he didn't even know I had one, or two, or whatever. So I probably shouldn't have even tried it. Answer that. I don't know. My logic has got me about 50-50 between the two places for one reason or another. You know, one has more people, or maybe, and I don't know. I probably shouldn't have even. I should take a pass, but. Oh, man, I don't know. I know I'm probably going to get it wrong. So one part of me says, Colorado, yeah, right. I don't remember seeing a museum out there when I was out there. I guess I'll say New York. Probably be wrong, but I'll say New York. K9WDX.
K9WDX and the South Cartier in 070. Bernie, you need to give yourself more credit for your answer elimination. So I have you down for C as in New York. One last call for anybody else who wants to try this question. Please call now, NO70.
Good evening. This is 7-11 UTC. Who would... I threw the pen. Thank you. This is Rudy. I'm sorry.
7L1 UTC and 70. I'm sorry. Where do you think that the U.S. Nikola Tesla Museum is located? Budapest, Belgrade, New York, or Colorado Springs? Over.
Thank you. We love checking
in. Okay. Well, thank you for checking in. I appreciate that. All right. So the answer for this one. The U.S. Nikola Tesla Museum, where is it located? And I'll just say this, I am a big fan of Nikola Tesla, and there have been some really good documentary videos that have come out about him recently. But even I did not know the answer to this question. So thanks. I'm glad that this question came up. The answer is, it is in New York, which James is why I was saying, did you want to try to come back a little bit closer to home? So we had one B in Belgrade and one C in New York. And Bernie got it correct with the answer C as in New York. Congratulations. So let's go on to the next question, resetting. All right, this question now. What amateur invented AM mode is often heard around 14.230 megahertz? The answers would be fast scan TV for A, wideband FM for B, slow scan TV for C, or working split for D. What amateur invented AM mode is often heard around 14.230? Fast scan, wideband, slow scan, working split. Come down with your answers. This is in 070.
070, Kilo Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray. But put me at the end of the list if you get one. K9WDX.
Roger, any others?
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Victor Alpha 3, Julie, India, Charlie.
Okay, that recognizes EWG, WDX, JIC. And I see a comment in the text box by DY, which intrigues me, so I'm going to add him to that. Oh, I think WDX asked to be moved to the bottom of the list. So, okay, so let's go down this list, EWG, JIC, VKDY, and VK2DY, and WDX. EWG, go ahead. This is 070, over.
Well, thank you, George. This is a mode I have used quite a bit. That would be slow scan, KB9EWG.
All right, copy C for slow scan. JIC, James, how about your answer, please, over.
Thanks. I'm going to pick Charlie for C.
All right, copy Charlie. VK2DY, I'm going to go ahead and pick on you and ask you for an answer to this question as well. But before we go down the list of that, I see the your comment in the text box, which may have occurred on the previous question regarding Nikola Tesla, about VK2DY, could you help me out with the comment in the text box to make sure that I've covered the question completely, VK2DY, NL70, over.
NL70, VK2DY, it's now 28 degrees Celsius, I'm still in Rouse Hill, sun is shining, what is that, that's 83 Fahrenheit, sun is shining, sky is blue. Well, I'll give the answer for this, C, Charlie, and then the comment was just, there seems to be an awful lot of cultic activities around this Nikola Tesla character, claiming he invented everything from radio to, I don't know, who knows, everything, apparently, none of which he invented, but... So I call it a cult leader, but I don't think he had anything to do with the cult, actually. VK2DY, back to Ned.
Well, Robert, that's kind of what I thought. There is a lot of hype and information and misinformation regarding that. But he certainly was a colorful character, and he certainly stood up against some interesting forces, the modern forces. So thank you for that. All right, and I have your guess as C for slow scan TVs. And let's see what Bernie has to move to the end of the list. So K9WDX, NL70, your turn, over.
Okay, NL70, K9WDX. I want to get to the end of the list to make sure. Well, I wanted to check in to make sure I was able to check in. And I wanted to tell a little story. Got into that, amateur radio 86 and 87. I got my first HF transceiver. It was a Drake TR-4. And I started tuning around, and I heard the digital signal on 14230. And I want to decode that, see what's being sent. And I can hear people talking, I got curious. And sometimes they'll send slow scan TV photos of International Space Station, or back then it was somewhere along the line it was R2 MIR and R4 MIR, or whatever, the Mir Space Station, and fancy pictures or whatever. So anyhow, I was almost going to get a robot unit that was, well, there was two of them at a ham fest, and one was black and white, and one was color. And I didn't quite have enough money for it, but it was a good thing, because later on I found out that you can download a free program, MMSSTV, and put it on a computer and run slow scan that way. And my first contact was N5CST, and he always sends the bright red rose as his first picture when he first contacts you. So that was my experience, and I found out that if there's too many on there, they go to the secondary frequency of 14233, and they'd like to, as gentlemen's agreement, have you stay at least 3 KC's away so that you're not causing interference to slow scan TV, and they don't want to go all over the band, you know, stick to those two frequencies on 20 meters so that they're not causing interference to sideband signals. 73 and back to net, NO70, K9WDX, and I'll say slow scan TV, I'm not sure what letter that was.
Okay, Bernie, got you down for slow scan TV also. Before I give the answer, let me say hello also to ZL3TOM, who is in the chat box from a commercial flight NZ546. Good evening. Welcome to you, sir. This is the South Cars Thirsty Information Net. We're having a trivia night tonight instead of a more technical topic. We want to welcome you to this once-a-month program held on the third Thursday of each month. And if you wish to and are able to text an answer in, I'll keep an eye out for you. I gather that you may not be in a position to transmit for us from the flight. But ZL3TOM has joined us from NZ546 flight tonight. Welcome. So let me reset. All right. The correct answer is C as in Charlie. It is indeed slow scan television That was the amateur-invented AM mode, often heard around 14.230 megahertz. All right, let's move on to the next question. The invented by Copter and McDonald, VE1BFL, in the early 1960s. Slow scan television is even incorporated in some handheld VHF radios. Okay, I'm sorry, that was the explanation. So the next question, amateurs are credited with the first documented observations of which unusual listening or atmospheric phenomenon? Amateurs are credited with the first documented observations of which unusual phenomenon? Answer A, whistlers. Whistlers, as in whistling, whistlers. B, growlers. C, long delayed echoes. D, sprites and jets. So amateurs are credited with which one of those first documented observations of an unusual phenomenon? Please call now with your calls to give an answer. This is NO70, over.
Zulu Yankee Charlie.
All right, so I have Zulu Yankee Charlie. Any others? NO70. I agree, this is a tough one. Zulu Yankee Charlie, your answer, please. Over.
Hi, George NO70 up there in Maryland with all the critters there in the forest. It's KC4ZYC here in Beloit, Wisconsin. Name is Howard. I'm going to take a guess, and I'm going to go ahead and say answer A, whistlers. George, back over to you, NO70. Good evening from KC4ZYC.
KC4ZYC, NO70. Well, good evening, Hal, and thank you for being here. This hurts. Oh, my goodness. This really hurts. And this is a tough one. Regrettably, it's not whistlers, and it's not growlers. It is long delayed echoes. Sprites and jets are types of lightning strikes, which one would not hear but would see, as in S-E-E. So the correct answer is long delayed echoes, but you know what? There certainly are whistlers and growlers to be heard as well. So, any comments or thoughts, or do you wish to challenge and we can refer over? Or are you okay with that? KC4ZYC, NO70, over.
George, that was a great explanation. I had no idea. I remember hearing whistling sounds on HF, and I figured, well, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. I could be wrong, I could be right, but I'm going to go ahead and give an educated guess. And, yeah, it's perfectly all right. I like your explanation. That's interesting. I did not know that.
Well, thank you for being such a good sport, indeed. My recollection of long-delayed echoes is that they were a later recognized effect, at least in my ham operations experience, after whistlers and growlers. Whistlers and growlers had been around so long, but the long delayed echoes were something that weren't really recognized until a later article that I happened to read back from a date back in the day. But that's my recollection. Maybe later in the program, Gordon can give us some more additional information regarding that. Okay, so thank you, Hal. I appreciate that as well. All right, I want to make sure I keep moving here because the other explanation here too are that long-delayed echoes are spooky phenomena that are not completely understood even today. We just don't know that much about them. Whistles and growls we know a little bit more about. All right. I have one more question, and then I have a bonus question from the very end of tonight's script that I want to add in as well. So I have two more questions for the group, and then I'll pass it on to KB9EWG. Let me reset. All right, so who was the first ham to transmit from space via amateur radio? The first ham to transmit from space via amateur radio. This is the South Cars February 30 Information Net. We're doing trivia tonight, and on this trivia question, the answers are A, Dave Garraway, B, Owen Garriott, C, Gary Owens, or D, Garrett Phillips. So A, Dave Garraway, B, Owen Garriott, C, Gary Owens, D, Garrett Phillips. Please call now with your answers. This is NO70. Over.
Zulu Yankee Truck.
That recognizes our good sport, KC4ZYC. Any others? Over.
Victor Alpha 3, Julie India Charlie.
And that also recognizes VA3JIC. Thank you, James, for being for coming in on that, too. All right, let's start at the top of the list. ZYC, come on with your answer, NO70, over.
Hello again, George, NO70, KC4ZYC. Well, it would be none other than Owen Garriott, W5 Lima, W5LFL. And matter of fact, I remember living in Florida, and my brother actually tried to work W5LFL while the space shuttle was going overhead. And turns out we could hear him, but it seemed like every ground station that could was trying to work him. So he had quite a pileup. But, man, those were the days. Those were the days. On the Space Coast where I live, we actually had one of the first repeaters that had permission from the Federal Communications Commission to retransmit space shuttle audio. And that was kind of cool, too. And we had, this is before the days of things like Heavens Above and being able to track the space station. So we had a map that was provided to us from Paris Amateur Radio Club that gave us some idea of where the space station was going to be. Well, space shuttle, I should say. Space shuttle was going to be, not space station, space shuttle. But it was a little bit off because of the time that they actually launched the shuttle. So we did what we could, but unfortunately my brother was not able to work Owen Garriott, W5LFL, during that commemorative event, which was a first ever. It was really, really cool. Let's see, NO70, KC4ZYC.
KC4ZYC, NO70. I love the extra information that you provided with that, Hal. Thank you so very much. And you gave a big clue as to there when you mentioned W5LFL. That must have been an exciting night of operating that night as well. So thank you for that additional history and information. Very much appreciated. All right, so let me move on. VA3JIC, James, what is your answer to this question, NO70, over.
Well, thanks so much. I'm going to say Owen Garriott.
All right, we have two answers, both of them being B. I'm going to, again, apply KA9WDX's unique analysis that does work so well for him and go down the list. Dave Garraway was answer A. Well, he certainly was a pioneer in broadcasting. I believe he had one of the late night shows early on in broadcasting. I believe he did some quiz shows. But anyway, he was a very prominent broadcaster. Owen Garriott, indeed, was an astronaut. Gary Owens, if it's the same Gary Owens that I'm thinking of that was on Roland Martin's Laugh In and was the announcer who always kept his hands over his ears and the clock had Mickey Mouse hands in back of him, he certainly played his part to be in a world of his own as well. Garrett Phillips, I'm not familiar with that one, but when Hal mentioned, of course, W5LFL, he transmitted from the space shuttle in 1983. So applying WDX's analysis, I think I'd also myself have to go with answer B, and indeed Hal and James, both of you got it correct. Owen Garriott, the astronaut, transmitted from the space shuttle in 1983, and both of you are correct. Thank you. Let me reset. Okay, here is a bonus question from the end of tonight's, but I'm just going to let this one pass by, and then I will turn it over to KB9EWG for the another set of questions. What does the abbreviation WARC stand for? What does the abbreviation WARC stand for? I'll give you a hint. This has a lot to do with the regulatory and statutory authority that we hams enjoy for the exercise of our radio transmissions and our frequencies. So what does the abbreviation WARC stand for? Looking for the full name that of what WARC means. Please call now with your answers. NL70, over.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Any others? This is NL70, over. Well, I thought I picked out one of the easiest ones off the bonus questions. Okay. Well, guess what, Dave? I guess you get to fill us in on one of the bonus questions here at KB9EWG, NL70, over.
WARC, World Amateur Radio Conference. They're the ones that, you know, your work bands. So, you know, the non-contesting band, World Amateur Radio Conference, WARC. A little bonus information on Owen Garriott there. Back when I first got licensed, I used to help teach a class to scouts with amateur radio there. And there was a recruiting video put out by the League, The New World of Amateur Radio, which I believe is available on YouTube. And there is footage of W5LFL on there, working from the shuttle. Also shows his radio setup that he used on there. As well as W5LFL working Juliet Yankee number 1, King Hussein of Jordan. KB9EWG, back to you, George.
Well, thank you, Dave. Yes, I always did enjoy the fact that King Hussein of Jordan was an amateur radio operator. And yes, I do remember the video of of Owen Garriott's operation that time. Now, Dave, I need to ask you, would you please repeat your answer for the question of what does the abbreviation WARC stand for? I need to make sure I heard your answer correctly. KB9EWG, NL70, over.
World Amateur Radio Conference, KB9EWG.
Okay. Anyone else want to take a try their answer for this? Please call NL70, over. Well, Dave, I hope you'll forgive me and won't put me in the doghouse for this. But I'm afraid that the answer that you provided of World Amateur Radio Conference, which is what I heard both times, is incorrect because the WARC's authority extends beyond just amateur radio. It extends worldwide across multiple services. The correct answer for what does the abbreviation WARC stand for is the World Administrative Radio Conference instead of World Amateur Radio Conference because of the scope of its authority. It's the World Administrative Radio Conference. However, Dave, do you care to challenge and the answer? KB9AWG and a 70 over.
I will just stand as corrected there, George. Thank you.
Well, Dave, you're a good sport for doing that because, you know, you came in and gave your answer to a bonus question, and these are some tough bonus questions that are here. So my compliments to the preparer of all these of the trivia questions tonight, which I think we all know was Gordon KY6C and I'm sure Ms. Sunshine, KSU, and also has something to do with it as well. All right, let me reset. Okay, so that the correct answer again was World Administrative Radio Conference, WARC, and it's, as an amateur radio operator, it's well worth the time to read a little bit about that organization because it certainly does have an effect on our operations here in the United States and also amateur radio operators worldwide. With that said, let's go to the person who is such a good sport and also another one of the South Cars Net Control Stations, KB9EWG Dave, who is going to then take us through another set of questions. So KB9EWG, thank you so much, sir. Thank you for being there. And this concludes my set of questions for tonight. Turning it back over to you, KB9EWG, NO70. Over.
Well, thank you, George. Always a pleasure. Good job on your portion of the TIN this evening. Good evening, all. KB9EWG, Echo 2289 is my cell car's number. Continuing on with the TIN here and trivia. My first trivia question is, what type of preamplifier invented by Hams does not include a transistor, tube, or other active amplifying device? And the four choices are A, parametric, B, supercooled, C, negative feedback, and D is servo. Anybody wish to guess? Come ahead there, please. This is KB9EWG. I guess we got no takers. One more time, I will see if anybody wants to try to take a guess at that. If you need the question repeated, I can do that. Otherwise, if not, I'll go ahead and give the answer to you shortly. KB9EWG. Okay, we got no takers on that question. The correct answer is alpha, parametric. A parametric amplifier uses the non-linearity of diode junctions to amplify signals. Okay, the next question on this trivia section here is relegated to these in the early days of radio hams found them to be prime radio real estate. What are they? A, variable frequencies. B, subbands. C, quiet zones. Or D, short waves. Anybody care to try to guess at this one? Well, first, I want to echo George's compliments to the captain who wrote these trivia questions. Obviously, he's got some pretty tricky ones out here. And this is a good one. The correct answer is delta, short waves. also known as the infamous 200 meters and down. And there was a book written about 200 meters and down, talking about how hams basically developed everything in that region in radio communications when they were given 200 meters and down. So the infamous 200 meters and down region was supposed to be an exile for amateurs, but it turned out to be quite the opposite, and we've all enjoyed it since then. This is KB9EWG. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next question. A VHF enthusiast discovered and documented what unusual propagation mode? A, trans-equatorial skip. B, D-layer absorption. C, tropospheric propagation. Or D, continuous wave. Anybody try to take a guess at this one?
7-0.
Yes, sir. Sheriff, you wish to give it a guess there?
I am going to say trans-equatorial skip. It is to the credit of VHF enthusiasts that they found this particular propagation mode, especially given the usually short path of contacts at VHF. So I'm going to say that trans-equatorial skip would be the answer. KB9EWG and a 7-0. Over.
Okay, so George's answer is alpha, trans-equatorial skip there. Anybody else wish to give it a guess here before I give the answer? George, you are correct, sir. It is trans-equatorial skip there. So thank you very much for your guess, and ding, 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 correct on you there, my friend. Okay, we're going to move on to the next question. A TE, or tangle echo, that is, was not considered possible at VHF until amateurs found it. So the trans-equatorial skip was not considered possible at VHF until the amateurs discovered it there. So that's the reason behind that one. Okay, so next question in my list here is Grote Reber. That's R, Romeo, Echo, Bravo, Echo, Romeo. The ex-Whiskey 9 Golf Foxtrot Zulu pioneered what specific discipline? Alpha is Corellian photography. B, telekinesis. C, radio astronomy. Or D is quantum mechanics. Anybody want to try that? Give that a guess there. KB9EWG.
7-0.
7-0. Go ahead there.
Hang there. KB9EWG and 7-0. Was there anybody else that wanted to try that before I gave my guess over?
I have had nobody jump in to try. Does anybody wish to give it a shot before George gives his answer? Okay, George, go ahead and give it your guess there.
KB9EWG on the South Cars TIN, February 2022, NO70, George, Nottingham, Maryland. And the answer that I know is radio astronomy, that XW9GFZ, Grote Reber, pioneered the scientific discipline of radio astronomy. And I'd like to add in some further information about radio astronomy. Of course, there are a lot of antenna fields that you've seen with all the dishes where radio astronomy is exercised. Close by my location here in Nottingham, Maryland, is the Green Bank, West Virginia Radio Astronomical Cluster of Antennas. And a couple of very interesting facts about the Green Bank, West Virginia area. Let me reset. The Green Bank, West Virginia radio astronomy area is a restricted area for any radio frequency emissions. It's a quiet zone, an RF quiet zone. You have to turn your equipment off where even just the presence of a radio on receive could interfere with the reception of the radio astronomy field, the equipment. They even have police cars complete with blue lights, arrest authority, and everything else, who will pull you over and give you a ticket if you are found to be the source of interference anywhere in that protected zone. Homes that are close by that location cannot have radios or televisions inside the homes. There are some people who are very happy with that lifestyle, and they live within that protected area. They do once in a while have tours through the facility. Last time that I was there visiting, there was one large, huge dish and one smaller dish. The larger dish coming after the first smaller dish. Let me reset. And the entire area has been credited with quite a few discoveries using radio astronomy, of course, as have other fields. There has been some damage to some of the other radio astronomy fields. I believe it was the one in Chile that, there's another one in Puerto Rico. So there has been some deterioration in the equipment that is used for radio astronomy. But of course, we now have the advantages of some of the newest telescopes and satellites. One, of course, that was recently launched as well. So that's some further information about the radio astronomy guidelines in Green Bank, West Virginia. KB90WG and I-70, over.
Well, thank you, George. Good information there. And correct on your answer. Okay. It's about time for me to pass the torch on the garden, but before I do, I'm going to pick one of the bonus questions in here. So my bonus question is going to be, which amateur invented protocol lies at the heart of many commercial location tracking systems? Which amateur invented protocol lies at the heart of many commercial location amateur tracking systems? Commercial location tracking systems. KB9EWT, looking for anybody with a guess there? Okay, well, once again, my compliments to Gordon, the one who wrote these questions up tonight. Apparently, we got some stumpers in the audience here, so Gordon, congratulations to you. And the correct answer to that bonus question, by the way, was APRS, which is your automatic packet reporting system. At this point, I'm going to pass it the torch on to Gordon, who has the next section here. Thank you once again, Gordon. Good job on the questions this evening. This is KB9EWG.
Well, thank you, David. In fact, thanks to all the narrators tonight. You know, I was sitting back thinking that some of these trivia questions were excellent as starters for probably some TIN programming where we could make a whole program out of just that question. And there are a number of in here that we'll have to look at that aspect and see what we can turn up. The one that comes to mind was, what's the best SWR? Well, you know, I think that anybody that's been playing with antennas and stuff for any period of time, be it short or long, realize that 1-to-1 is your best SWR. But let me ask you this question, and I'm not going to ask it officially tonight, but let you think about it. What does the engineering professionals, the day-to-day people that sell and produce equipment and install equipment, what do they say is an acceptable level above 1.1 that they have no trouble in saying if you can meet that, you've got it made? You think about that one. Maybe we'll have that some night on a TIN. All right, let me buy a nickel here. We are at almost an hour and 45 minutes. 1 minute to go and it'll be an hour and 45 minutes. And there's another 10 bonus questions here that we had in case we needed it tonight. I'm going to hold back on those. I'll give you one or two, and then we'll close it out. And we'll use the others for the next trivia sequence that we have. And we like to have a trivia here at least once a year and sometimes twice. So I think we're going to play it that way for the sake of the timing here this evening. Okay, so my first question would be, let me buy a nickel. What communication mode pioneered by amateurs has been revolutionized by ham software? I'll read that again. What communication mode pioneered by amateurs has been revolutionized by software? There are four answers. A, semaphore. B, long path. C, chordotal hops. D, moon bounce. Anybody want to take that one on? I'll give you one more after this, and then we're going to close it. KY6V for South Guard.
7-0.
7-0. Boy, you got a razor-sharp pencil going tonight. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, Gordon. I love the pen that you wrote these questions with, too, as well. Good job with these. I will have to go with moon bounce. And by the way, doesn't that moon always look just so inviting on some of those nights when you want to get out there and just point an HT antenna at it and just zap that moon with all the RF you can get and see if you can bounce the signal back? KY6V and a 7-0, over.
Well, I don't know if I can answer that, George, in a reasonable fashion. My mind drifts in various directions very rapidly at times. If I look up at the moon, George, and it's a nice moonlit night, and the moon is absolutely beautiful, my first thought, and just about every time, is I'd like to look at the back of it. George, over.
Oh, so you're the next ham astronaut for us to contact on the next landing. Thank you, Gordon. That is spill the beans. KY6V and a 7-0, over. KY6V, did you copy my reply? KY6V and a 7-0, over.
Yeah, I guess I must have missed the push the talk button, and I was talking to myself. Sorry about that, George and guys. Yeah, I've got it. As I said, moon bounce is the correct answer to that last set of four. Okay, last question for the evening, guys and gals. And this is a good one, too. Joe Taylor, K1JT, he's done a lot for amateur radio, a lot of software he's generated, digital type stuff as I recall, wrote the WSJT software that has brought EME, that's Earth, Moon, Earth, within reach of amateur modest stations. And excuse me, that was an entry that I thought was the next question, but that was an ad lib addition to what George had picked before. So the final question is actually, Hams created what worldwide network to distribute email via amateur radio? None of this going through your ISP and into the internet network and all of this. This is via amateur radio. What created, what did Hams create to make email possible on amateur radio? The answers are A, mTOR. B, FEC, that's Foxtrot Echo Charlie. C, Winlink. D, Field Hell. F-E-L-D hyphen H-E-L-L. Isn't that a name and a half? I can tell you right now, that's not the correct one. Any answers on this? Go ahead.
Zulu Yankee Charlie with a guess, Gordon.
Well, I don't know. Your guesses have been pretty good tonight. Hi, Howard. Go ahead.
Well, Gordon, I've never used it. I've heard about it. And I'm going to say Winlink.
Okay. We've got you down for Winlink, which is C as in Charlie. Hang on, Howard. We'll see if you're right or wrong. Anybody else want to take that one?
This is NAQOO. I would say AMTOR. Amateur radio. Amateur mail over radio.
Okay, I missed the call, but I think it was QOO. Is that what is the full call, please? Over.
November 8, Queen Ocean, Ocean, NAQOO, Fred, Michigan.
Okay, Fred. Well, okay. Anybody else before we disclose their pull up the drapes or open the curtains? Over.
Echo Whiskey Golf, keeping it EWG, concurs with Winlink.
Okay, let me get you down here. I'm trying to keep track of everybody that's answering so that we can parley up totals here tomorrow morning on who was the number one correct guesser and who was number two and how many questions there were and that kind of stuff. What is your, what was your guess? That was Winlink, C as in Charlie, is that correct?
Correct, C as in Charlie. And, you know, basically I got most, you know, I got all the answers here but from being at the list here, but any question I'm answering from experience doing myself there. So, KB9EWG.
Okay, very good, David. Well, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, and of course all those ships out at sea, the answer is Winlink. They've done a nice job. You can go in on, let's say, an HF frequency, make your connections, deposit an email that is picked up by one of the other ham designees for that particular service. He dumps it into the local infrastructure of the internet, or if it's local, he may just pick up the telephone and call the people and give the message out. So Winlink is the ham side of all this frustration, anxiety, and nonsense that we find when we try to use our email. Okay. I'm going to stop it right here. Do we have anything else for the good of the order? Anybody, any questions, any comments, any suggestions before we roll the doors closed? Over. Okay, thanks everybody. Appreciate you coming by, but that was nice. A nice evening as far as I'm concerned. We're 53 or 54 minutes into the second hour. So we might as well just wrap this up and say it was, for all intents and purposes, a two-hour net. This has been SCARS VOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on our SCARSVOIP.com website. Please visit that when you can. We try to keep it up as on a regular basis, and then back that up with a mass mailing of the email announcements once a week to our membership. So this is Gordon, KY6V. I'm down here in South Florida saying bid you all adieu, and I'm doing that for all the narrators tonight. Thanks for a good show. I hope that you enjoyed it. We will have the podcast posted probably no later than noon tomorrow on our website. And then in addition to that, to follow very shortly will be a summation of who was number one, two, and three, and so on and so forth, on the best guessers of the evening. Good night, everybody. KY6V is now closing the service and net and leaving the server back for normal abuse and use. Thank you and good night.